This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. So, Bart, we didn't get to this story, but just quickly, it's interesting. So, I don't know if you saw this, talking about more social media stuff. Blake Jarwin, the tight end from the Cowboys, put out a picture with Dak Prescott with a run it back.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
little phrase. Dak Prescott quickly responded, "Don't see it any other way."
Of course.
Now, is that like, should we read into that? Like, is that now, or is that one of those that's uncomfortable? Like, because it's not like he's going to reply and be like, "Nah, I'm good."
Yeah.
Like, I'm all set.
He's not going to pull a Dominique Foxworth on us, huh?
Oh, yeah, you know about that. We should tell the people.
We're supposed to wait for Jay Weezy because I want his opinion.
Jay Will's here. He can hear this.
Oh, you can
Jay
hear this,
Jay Will joins us on the Goodyear Hotline.
Alan Bart, did he put a period? Did he put a period at the end?
I think it was exclamation point, and a thumbs down.
Well, relatively, though, think about it like this.
You got my drop. They got my drop ready.
Hang on. So J-Dub, our producer, reached out to Dominique Foxworth to see if we could have him on the show during, I think it was the week after the Super Bowl.
He just said, Bart
would love to have you on.
No, but hold on, Alan. Set it up. The pretense. I played with Dominique Foxworth in Baltimore. We are former teammates. We bled together. We got DNA on the ground.
Wait, Bart. Like each other teammates or just teammates? There's a difference.
No, like each other teammates. Teammates.
You were down like four flats?
Flats. We're down like four flats. Listen, and I protected him. Dominique Foxworthy is like 170 pounds soaking wet. We knew if that running back got to the corner, we know when he got to the corner, he may have to make an executive decision, a business decision about his health. I made sure it never got to him, Jay Weezy.
Keep his body intact, Bart.
Right, so J-Dub sends him a text and just said, "Oh, Bart, you know, the guys would love to have you on. You know, do you have any time? Let me know if this is doable." And Winthrop said the response he got was, "Don't think so." And that's it. Like, he gave us, like, J-Dub, did he give us the all set? Did he give us an all set?
Yo!
Yeah, Bart,
like, that was a Heisman if I ever saw one.
It's like...
Bart, is there a bill that you didn't pay, or is there money? Is there money?
I don't know. We've been on TV together, and it's been great. So, because of that,
or has it?
I am a mirror. Whatever you send to me, I reflect it back, Alan. Anybody that knows me knows that. So, I have a response to Dominique Foxworth. Please play my music.
Newsflash, Ray, we ain't never been friends.
Ooh. That's how I'm coming back.
It's like that?
I'm going like that. I'm going straight life on him, which is a classic movie,
I want to call Neek on three-way. That's what I want to call him on three-way.
Now we got to have a discussion now with Dominique Foxworth.
Because you got to have...
I should just call him on three-way right now and see if he picks up.
Hey, friend, listen.
Bring him on the line.
You want to know why, Jay Weezy? You want to know why I'm hurt? Because friends deserve explanations. And listen, friends deserve at least the courtesy to lie to me, bro. Just know I'm good. Like, oh man, I gotta take my girl to like the store, or hey, I gotta rock the baby to sleep. Give me something. You just gonna give me a
nothing. He gave you nothing. That's what happened. So bad that your Comrex dropped out. You see, Jay? This is what happened. He gets so mad the Comrex just drops out.
You know what I'm saying? I'm back though. Right, listen. We gonna have a nice service for this Comrex afterwards, because guess what? The boys hooked me up. You know what I'm saying? I like that undertone too. You know what I'm saying?
You got a new headset
on the way, man. I will not be electrocuted every 30 minutes. I will not get electrocuted, and I won't have little baby cuts on my ear from the damn thing not having no damn cushions on the inside. So I'm back, baby. You give a dude like me that ain't used to having equipment. You give me equipment, I'm ready to go.
Hey, Bart, I bet you Neek don't have good next Comrex equipment. I bet you don't have that kind of Comrex equipment.
Listen, Neek coming around here, and I stayed off of him. He walking around looking like Ned DeWino with that dirty goatee he got going on, and I ain't said nothing about it, man. You know he look like Ned DeWino.
Can we keep Jay on? Because you're going to now – you're habitually line-stepping way too early in the segment. Because this is where Jay starts to find his exit. He has an exit strategy.
I'm starting to feel more comfortable. That's the problem.
Listen, Neek. Listen, Google Ned DeWino. We need to put a Ned DeWino and tell me that don't look like Dominique Foxworthy, but he just used
Ned
the sponge. He just used the sponge to get his hair curly, but that's Ned DeWino.
Ned DeWino. How do you spell DeWino? Just, come on, break
while,
it down.
While you're, the, while
Ned
you're,
N-E-D.
No.
Duh, D A Wino.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Jay, while you're doing that.
From Sanford and Son.
Yes, we know.
Alan, when I hear the bass of your voice go down, you sound like a parent right now. Like,
yeah, I get. Yeah, down, I do get very parental sometimes with Bart. I have to. We have to get this back under
control. Raymond Allen is his name. But listen, let's go. Go ahead, Alan. We can transition. We can transition.
Can we now? Can we? I appreciate that. Okay.
My Jay, feelings are hurt.
He Jay, does let's get... look like Raymond Allen. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead.
Thank you.
All right. So where we are right now, though, let's get into some sports talk with you. And, again, Jay Williams joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. So Duke freshman Jalen Johnson opts out. And, you know, he's got, I would say, a good reason. He's had some injury issues, but he opts out.
He's a quitter.
Well, and that's where I was going. I can't believe the backlash that this kid is getting, especially if he's getting the blessing of Coach K on a team that isn't going anywhere, with a coach who you could tell never wanted to play. And he's saying, you know what, I got to focus on my future. You know, and I'll say this. I mean, I joke with my son about this stuff all the time. I didn't come here to play school. Like, we all know why you're there. So he's opting out. He's not going to finish the season, and he's going to get himself ready for a draft, which is obviously the next biggest important decision and step in his life. Jay, I guess first and foremost, you as the Duke guy, like, how do you feel about this? And also, how do you feel about the vitriol that he's received?
I'm 1,000,000% fine with it. And the comments that he's received have been – it's so disappointing. Like, let's take all this back for a second. Mm-hmm. So the NFL is playing through a pandemic. You're like, damn, this sucks. Like, all these facilities are being closed down. Players are getting it. But I understand, man, these guys are making millions of dollars, their livelihood. Okay, all right. Like, the NFL is going to forge through. Okay, NBA is going. They played through the bubble. Now they're trying to come back and play like normal, home and away. All right. Bron's making $39 million. Okay, get it. So wait, college basketball is trying to kick off. Kids aren't making any money. But now, since we didn't have March Madness last year, universities are trying to do their best to make ends meet and to actually generate some revenue. But now we want to actually debase or castrate a kid because he chose the time was over to play college basketball? Are you kidding me? Like, in the midst of a pandemic? In the midst after a kid having a broken foot, I don't care what the hell his reasoning is. If he's not playing well enough, if he's not playing enough minutes, even if he just felt like the air was blowing east to west instead of west to east, it does not matter to me, Alan and Bart. It does not matter to me. Like, he came there because that was the vehicle that was going to help him get to the pros. Mm-hmm. And yes, I can see how people can say, well, you cleaned out your locker and you're done. Well, guess what? If Duke wanted to be done with him, they would be done.
Yeah.
I mean, if something happens on the team, and one of the conversations, I'm sorry for being long-winded, but one of the things I really get frustrated about is, you know, a coach, you know, we got into an argument with Seth Greenberg about this today, and Seth is like, well, if I left the situation, I get buyed out, right? University buys me out before I move on to my next team. But how about all those kids that you recruited? Like, because, you know, when the coach comes in your house, Bart,
right,
you know, they're going to tell you the world now. I love you. You're going to be part of my team, my family. But then if you're there for a year and that coach decides, I'm going to get upgraded. I'm going to go to a better situation, right? That coach can get a buyout, even if he coaches you the rest of the year. How about the other 3 years I'm supposed to be in school? Yeah. I don't have that coach anymore. Like, I just got sold something. Is that coach a quitter? Is he quitting on his? Did he quit on me? No, he made a business decision. Jalen Johnson is making a business decision, and I'm fine with that.
It's the hypocrisy, right? Because, you know, we see the same thing happen when guys are actually playing these meaningless bowl games in football. And it's like, bro, this ain't even in the championship. I'm not even in the playoff tournament, but you want me to make money for your bowl team and when I can risk losing millions of dollars. And you see these guys fly out. I mean, we watched Bobby Petrino quit on the Falcons during the middle of the season and pop up on a college campus. Like the hypocrisy. And last night, you know, Draymond Green was talking a little bit about the hypocrisy of basketball as well. Like you talk about these teams sitting star players because they don't want them to get hurt, but they don't want them to get hurt, right? Because but then when those players in turn says, hey, you know, I'm coming up on free agency. We ain't playing for nothing. I'm ready to shut it down. We have a problem with that. So to me, it's like a little bit of a hypocrisy because I feel like, you know, If it's all about winning and Drummond gives you the best opportunity to win if you're Cleveland, then he should be playing. But when he wants to volunteer and sit out, then it's an issue. So is it here's where
I get a little bit lost in that scenario. Because I think what's happening right now is players are making so much money in the NBA that and some players are to a degree. Like LeBron is. Okay? Kevin Durant is. But not just because you make an absurd amount of money doesn't mean that you're on the same level as your employer. That's the only thing that makes me feel that way a little bit, Bart, about this comment. Like, you know, yes, like you are an employee. With that is a contract due of services that we expect you to be done in order for you to receive this amount of money. And if you want to renege on that stuff or if you want to stop, then that is an issue with the contract that should be dealt, right? So my thing is, if you're getting into the nuances of business, I hear what Draymond Green is saying, and the world is full of double standards, full of double. Stephen A. Smith could do something that worked that I can't do. I don't have the luxury of being Stephen A. Smith. That's the world I live in. But I feel like that's also due to what we have contractually, and a lot of these players aren't as big as these franchises, and these franchises are not as big as the NBA. We can't forget about that as well. And I'm not trying to say players need to be where players are. I'm all about player empowerment. I've always been that person. But we need to be realistic about it sometimes as well.
I understand that take, and I get what you're saying, because that is obviously the thing where you're contractually obligated to play, and then we are not and if we want to move you, we don't want you to get hurt, so we're just going to keep you out until we move you. And we're still going to pay you. It's not like we're not paying you. We're just telling you, don't play. You know, that part I understand. But I do think that we're at a place now in sports, and this is not just NBA. We talked about this in the NFL and the Deshaun Watson situation, that if a player is suddenly like where a franchise takes a hard right in the midst of a contract, and suddenly it's just, wait, this place is not what I signed about. I didn't sign up for this. And you've changed things now. Like, there should be some way, and I think the NFL's got to have opt-outs. But you know what else I was thinking, Jay? Think about this for a minute. What do you think of this? I think a bigger problem in the NBA is the fact that max deals escalate. So the older you get, the more money you're getting, where technically, I mean, if you're actually getting older, shouldn't they be reverse? Shouldn't it be
exactly
a de-escalating contract?
Up front, Alan. Yes.
Get the money up front. So I'm paying you the most when you're at your best. And as you get older, you don't become the albatross that now I've got to ask to sit or buy out or try to trade with. I have to put like five picks into the deal just to get you out of here. Again, you have Russell Westbrook. You got Chris Paul. You got these guys that are older that now become albatrosses to their franchises. When as you get older, I need you to still become like maybe a leader that just isn't affecting the cap as much because you can't produce the same. And then what you do is, because I understand, well, then how do you get the next contract? It's always a percentage of your last salary. Do the annual average value. It's as simple as that. Just change the format so maxes are de-escalating. You get the most up front, just similar to the NFL. And then at the end of the deal, if you can get another max, God bless you, then it's a percentage of the annual, the AAV. And that just makes more sense than what we have right now, which is a league littered with old players who have $40 million salary that does not match the output. And now we've got to deal with moving these contracts around or buying them out and having them stuck on your salary. Wouldn't that idea make more sense?
It would. And I don't know why my brain just goes to the small caveat. The only thing I get a little bit worried about is, and Bart, you can speak to this. You know, Alan, you know how some players are when they get their money up front now. That's the only thing, right? Like, it's you know,
you that's a you problem, Jay.
Protect in front of himself.
You know,
we going to Sizzlers.
We kicking it. Like I may not have that same drive. That's only a little small caveat. With the exception of that, I kind of agree with you.
But you talk about getting your money up front. I wanted to ask you about something that has been a little bit controversial. It's kind of got Allen hot underneath the collar.
We always talk
about selling high.
Oh no!
You know,
here we go.
Right
play it,
now,
play naughty by nature. We're down with OPP.
Right
we
now,
we can't even enjoy our team. Go ahead.
Julius Randle is a valuable asset, and yes, you do look out and say, "Hey, the Lakers are in the midst of a run. They may be a little bit desperate. They only have a couple of years left with LeBrick James, before he may fall off the cliff. Anthony Davis is hurt. Listen, and he's hurt more than what I think we anticipate. And I don't know if this is a Kevin Durant situation, but you don't recover from, Achilles calf injuries, in a year. You need an offseason, maybe a touch-up surgery or something going on. So would you, if you were the hierarchy of the Knicks, maybe sell high on Julius Randle, because we haven't seen the second half of the season. We've seen guys come out on fire, but then don't have that conditioning to be able to finish and play at that type of level for the entire year. Would you sell high on Julius Randle right now?
It depends on what I was selling for. If I'm trying to piece Julius Randle or maybe another asset to get Bradley Beal on a draft pick, maybe. Okay.
But the Lakers don't have firsts to give you. They can't.
The Lakers. That's why I gave another scenario, because the Lakers don't. The Lakers don't have any draft picks. I mean,
they pull the third team in.
They're strapped. I mean, so if you're the Knicks, who do you want in return for Julius Randle? With the way that he's playing right now, who do you think can give you that production?
And he's. And by the way, Jay, he's at a bargain. He doesn't even make $20 million.
Exactly.
He doesn't even make, the Knicks don't have a player that makes over $20 million on their roster.
They have the
lowest roster in the league.
Right now for the Knicks, the most important thing right now for this franchise is sustain this culture.
Thank you.
Is so important to me.
Thank you.
The Knicks have been all over the damn place. Regime changes, players in and out.
I would counter with this, right? Do we believe that this is the Julius Randle that we're going to continually see, or is he playing and punching above his weight class? And what happens to, allowing maybe Obi Toppin to get an opportunity to learn? Because this isn't the team that you're going to win within the future. So you might as well start. Listen, I think I'm talking about long term. I'm talking about next year, the year after that.
Julius Randle's 26 years old, right?
I understand
that.
But is this a guy that you're going to make part of your big three?
Gave you 44 last night in a very important win.
So did Kevin Love on a bad team.
Bart, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Where are the Knicks right now in the Eastern Conference standings?
They're 6. And they're a couple games back for 4.
Wait.
What?
When's the last time the Knicks have been number 6?
Probably when Melo was there. But listen, this is just like Gatling or any of those other great racers getting out to a great start on Usain Bolt before he walk your ass down. You know what I'm saying?
But I don't want to do I don't want Obi Toppin to get more minutes. I'm going to lose a bigger part of my team staying in the playoff race. Like, making the playoffs is a win for the Knicks. That's a win, and you keep
building upon
that momentum.
You don't.
You keep building with Julius Randle. He is only 26 years old. He gives you a couple more years. Like, you still try to go after big free agents. I like the fact that they didn't make crazy trades around the draft. Like, I like Emmanuel Quickley. I like the way this team is looking, actually, right now.
They are fun to watch. And you know what, Jay? You know who they are? They're the Nets from 2 years ago with D'Angelo.
I like that.
That's what they are.
They got rid of everybody.
And they got stars, and now they're a championship contender. That's how it works. That's how you do it.
So we making ourselves attractive for. Well, we ain't even got. We can't even say.
What did you say the Jets should do? You just said the Jets should do this, but the Knicks can't. The Jets should do this, but the Knicks can't. Double standards now, all of a sudden.
To quote the great Chris Tucker. Oh, that was different.
Before we let you go, Jay.
Wait, Chris Tucker passed? I was like, wait, what?
He didn't say the late. Maybe he meant his career.
What about Debo choked me out in the backyard? Oh, that was different.
Oh, that was different. Jay, before we let you go, I want to ask you this question. With LaMelo Ball and how well he's played, everybody knows him now. The younger generation fans of the NBA absolutely love him. But there's now become this major controversy on social media. Have you heard about this involving him? Oh, yeah. It's a big controversy. It actually was trending yesterday on Twitter. That's how big of a story this is. Hmm. So apparently, there's an older generation that's saying, stop calling him Melo. There's only one Melo. That's Carmelo.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. There's only one Melo.
And now, so how do you feel about this? Should we not call LaMelo Ball Melo while Carmelo Anthony, Hall of Famer or future Hall of Famer, is still in the league today? Your thoughts?
I call him LaMelo. I say LaMelo. I wouldn't want to be called Melo. The best thing, what I would love for LaMelo Ball to do right now is, I know his style. I see him on interviews. Like, look, man, I did a YouTube video with him back in the day with him and Little Dickie and Lonzo, right, when he was a little kid. Mm-hmm. He's incredible. But I think it would be so incredible for LaMelo just to pay homage a little bit and be like, yo, look, I respect, like, when Melo's out of the league, if y'all want to call me Melo all y'all want. But until he's out, I'm LaMelo. I would respect that so much. Just paying some homage to people that came before you, man. I would love that.
Jay Weezy, can I ask you a question? What did you call the Damian Thompson?
Oh, man.
LT.
Oh, okay.
Lawrence Taylor was in the league.
LT's.
Lawrence Taylor was already retired and in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, stop. They were playing together.
Listen, Carmelo.
Bart's one of those guys that doesn't pay attention to detail. He just likes to keep poking the
bat. Exactly. Listen, don't
let
the facts.
They're in the league at the same time, Bart.
Listen, one thing I will never do, Jay Weezy, I will never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Or a good debate. Jay, man, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on with us.
Appreciate you guys, man. All right, brother.
All the best. That was Jay Williams giving us the straight talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. What'd we miss?
I didn't give a chance to tell him about my Sherman Hensley and LeBron James coming in the middle at Sherman Hensley and leaving as Kojak.
We got that next week. We can always come back next week and ask him what he thinks about that. It's a good point. We can bring that story back. It's okay.
Oh, I bet.
Because we never got a chance to talk to him about how James Harden likes the fact that the Nets shot 27 threes last night, or made 27 threes, and he said that's how it is. That's what we expect to be.
Oh, well, they'd be coming to Rockets.
That's the vision. 27 threes. How about maybe get a stop? Never mind. Jay's the best, though. And he was brought to you by Goodyear. All right, so coming up, we have audio files. There's more going on in the world of sports, believe it or not, than all the little stuff we've already talked about in the first half, hour and a half of the show. We will do that in audio files coming up next. We'd like to get some calls in as well. And at the end of the show, we're going to tell you about another tree fell in the woods. Another tree, Bart. Or, I'm sorry, your nickname now is Tree.
Tree.
Oh, man. Bart's going to end the show. He's going to be so angry. You've got to hear it. I'm waiting to the end to tell him about this, just so he could be so mad that he breaks whatever headphones are left on his head taped together.
Well, I don't need them no more.
We got audio files coming up next with your calls at 888-ESPN at 872-9-3776. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
That's my
presented
DJ.
By Progressive Insurance.
My DJ better than yours.
Insurance
man,
for boats,
saying.
Motorcycles, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So we've had enough today talking about everything in sports and some other things, and what a wild start to the show it was when I couldn't hear you and you could hear me, but delays and check engine lights and everything else that goes on with our show. It's mayhem, but it's fun. We love it. But and we appreciate like everybody's patience, of course.
But just like Captain Kirk, man, you got us back going where no man has ever gone before. You know what I'm saying? We got Sherman Hemsley and Kojak.
What? No bridge? They told me there'd be a bridge.
Scotty, you always knew who was going to damn die because it's like Captain Kirk, Spock, and it's like Scotty, and he's like, who the hell is this dude? Like, this is his first week on the show. Hey, yo, though, you definitely getting captured by the aliens.
Yeah, yeah,
man.
That's an Eddie Murphy line. I love that one, yeah.
that's a wrap.
Well, let's get to the headlines in sports, and we use that in audio files. And it's brought to you by AmeriSave Mortgage. You won't regret shopping AmeriSave.com for a lower mortgage rate. It only takes 3 minutes, and you could AmeriSave could save you thousands. AmeriSave for yourself now. So, Bart, the Knicks won again last night against the Atlanta Hawks. It was actually a really entertaining, wild game. Julius Randle went for 44 points, which is the most points by a Knicks player since Carmelo Anthony. That's how long it's been since a Knick has scored at least 44 in a game. Julius Randle should definitely be an all-star.
Oh, yeah.
He's averaging 23-11 with almost six assists a game. His shooting slashes are 48, 41, and 80. And StatMuse, which is great on Twitter, said there's only one other player in NBA history to have a season where you average 20, 10, and 5 on 40 or better percent shooting from three. Take a wild guess who that player was. Only one other player to do it.
Oscar Robertson.
No. Three-pointers. Come on. It's three-point era.
Larry Bird.
There you go. You nailed it. You know what? It took Wally Szczerbiak like five guesses last night. He couldn't get it. Nailed it, Bart. That's why you hang out with me. That's why I hang out with you. So Julius Randle is playing fantastic this year, and he attributes it to the coaching he's getting from the entire coaching staff and Tom Thibodeau. And he said, you know what? A lot of players don't like to be yelled at and be coached hard. But he likes the way Tibbs is coaching him. Listen to this.
Yeah, all of us. And, you know, when I talked to, you know, the guys in the summer and the guys in the front office, that was my thing. I wanted somebody to come in and coach us hard, to hold everybody accountable. And that's exactly what Tibbs has done. He's done a great job.
Tibbs for Coach of the Year right now, don't you think? And Kenny Payne, who was an assistant with Kentucky, who Randle has known since he was a teenager when he was at Kentucky, that's also been a key part of this too. Kenny Payne, the Knicks hired, brought him in, and he has worked with Randle. He gets him ready every game, and the two of them have really, so far, turned out a terrific season one half into the year. And he definitely should be an all-star. Whether they play the game or not, Julius Randle should be an all-star.
It's nothing like being able to have somebody that knew you when you were still dreaming your dream. You know, sometimes hard for people to push you once you get your dream, but somebody that knows, you know, the sacrifice, know where you were at that moment when you were dreaming this dream to remind you, remember what we did to get here, bro. We got to do even more to stay here. And then once we stay here, we need to elevate. So, you know, Julius Randle has had a couple of good seasons. You think about the last season that he had. And then the season, you know,
well, he's always put up stats,
right?
But doing it while winning,
right. Yes. And now he's playing; he's making winning plays, right? We don't see him in the paint. I think Tibbs and everybody took him to the side, like, "Yo, you get two spins a damn game, two spins." You know what I'm saying? So he ain't spinning to triple teams, double teams. No
but Bart,
more.
You went through this with the Jets. You went to the Jets. Rex Ryan was there. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you trusted Rex Ryan, right?
Exactly.
Rex Ryan could coach you, and you trusted where he was coming from. And I think that exists. I think there's a big part of that matters. Like Derrick Rose, too. He looks at Tibbs. You've coached me in my career. Eight of the 12 years he's been in the league, it's been Tom Thibodeau as his coach, and that has made all the difference.
Now, we made fun of Derrick Rose about a week ago when we said that he went to the Pistons, and he said he wanted to go play for a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to the Knicks. And we laughed. Yeah. I laughed. You laughed.
Who's laughing now? Laugh.
Yeah, who's laughing now? That's what I'm talking about. Because, listen, these are a team like the Bill Bradley type of Knicks, right? No superstar, but just a bunch of guys working. Okay, Willis Reed, you know what I mean.
Clyde Frazier, Earl Monroe.
Okay, man, you messed
Dave
me up.
DeBuscher.
Listen,
when
I watched
six Hall of Famers on that roster.
When I watched the documentary, they said that they was the team. So I'm going off the documentary saying, okay, like my Pistons. You know what I'm saying? They're a team.
The 04 Pistons, right. The 04 Pistons is a perfect example. I'll let you stay on that one. Okay. We talked about how Chris Doyle resigned from Jacksonville, from the Jaguars. And we couldn't believe that Urban Meyer would even make the hire, but he did. And Paul Feinbaum said this absolutely was predictable. Take a listen.
Anyone who has followed Urban Meyer closely knew he would run into something like this at some point. I didn't think he would be before the opening of training camp, before the draft, but that's Urban Meyer. He doesn't care what you think or I think. He doesn't care about common sense or decency. He only cares about what he thinks. And it's the same thing that happened at Ohio State with Zach Smith. Totally different set of circumstances, but Urban Meyer believes in someone. He doesn't care what his advisors say. He doesn't care what the media says. He just does it. And this was far worse because this wasn't enabling a favorite son of his, someone that he cared deeply about, that he was trying to help because of old family ties. This was someone who had been disgraced, who had been shipped out, sent packing by Iowa. And for Urban Meyer to say, yeah, I vetted him. Where did he vet him? Did he not read the accounts of why Iowa fired this guy? That is just so typical Urban Meyer. And it's one reason why I don't think this experiment is going to work in the NFL.
We said our piece yesterday. I think Feinbaum said it perfectly right there. And he would know as an expert in college football and obviously knowing how Urban Meyer operates. Last but not least, Jeff Darlington talking about Carson Wentz, who supposed to be traded any day now, or at some point he's going to get moved. And Darlington says Wentz needs to do something in order to expedite the trade. Take a listen.
It's not that Carson has a no-trade clause. If he starts to kind of try to demand where he wants to go in terms of the Colts or the Bears, you know, he could reunite with Frank Reich. The question here is about he needs to be able to help the team to structure his contract in a way that will make it more appealing to the potential suitor, say it's the Colts, for them to be able to give up the compensation that the Eagles ultimately want. So while there is no trade clause here, there's still this sort of need for everybody to be on board on the same page in order to actually make this work. But to your question, March 19th is ultimately the runway that they have to do exactly that.
Well, Mike Tannenbaum kind of mentioned this a while ago when he said that Carson Wentz can give money back, but he can go with the wink-wink promise that, hey, once I get there, I'll restructure my contract, give you guys salary cap relief, and it'll allow the Colts to feel comfortable maybe giving the more compensation to the Eagles, you know, like bringing Zach Ertz and taking more money off their books to give them more salary cap space.
It's interesting you mention Zach Ertz because another tree fell in the woods, Bart. Yeah. It did happen. I will explain what happened, and you all will get to sit back and watch Bart detonate once again on live radio and TV as well on ESPN Plus, because we live for this. It's my turn to push some buttons there, Sonny. I hope you're ready. Bart
Julius Randle.
ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Oh, man. He rocking today because now he hit us with a little old school.
That's right.
She's a bad man, Gemma.
Again, this is music. Just music your mom was with. She turned the vacuum on, and she was cleaning the house, and you were playing like a little kid, had your Legos.
Man, Gemma.
And this was just going on the 8-track in the background.
Yeah, and listen, when you hear the music come on, you know what time it is. Bart Edward, get up. Take the trash out. Bring all your dirty clothes to the laundry.
You have the bougiest name ever. Bartholomew Edward Scott.
And I get him every time, Alan.
The third.
Alan, I get him every time. Yo, I remember when I
don't even know if you're the third. I'm just going to make you the third because it just sounds that good.
Well, my dad's name is Bartholomew and my son's name is Bartholomew. But you know what's funny? It's like when I met Calvin Pace for the first time as a teammate, he had heard about me before. He was like, yo, man, they've been telling me about this dude, this linebacker that's cold, man, on the Ravens, man. And he's like, talking name Bart. I'm like, Bart? He's like, man,
nope.
So I went and checked him out. And I was like, what? He black. He's like, man, I thought you was white all these times. Got you. Aha. Aha. There's no spoon. So that's what it is. They see that name on that application, Allen. Show up. It's too late. I'm in the building. Bartholomew's right. Black.
You already pre-approved the credit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
exactly.
Too late.
Deontay, DeJuan, all those dudes denied. Bartholomew Edward Scott. Do you have any gray poupon?
That is terrible. Ha ha! Yeah!
And when on the application, they asked me, white, black, Asian, none of your business! None of ya! You gotta guess!
Well, I hate to bring the mood down.
Oh, okay.
But a tree fell in the woods again, Bart, over the weekend. Yeah, again.
We gotta get a
drop. I
want to
ask you if this report by the great Jeremy Fowler, ESPN's senior NFL reporter, over the weekend, this was actually Saturday, he tweeted at 4:59 p.m., as the Carson Wentz trade saga continues, some people around the league, Bart, expect the Eagles to explore options with Zach Ertz, who is bracing for a change of scenery via release or trade per source. And then he says, perhaps Philly could include him in a Wentz trade package to maximize value.
What do you mean, some people?
We should have there should be a segment called Bart Said That.
And listen, tell people how – I've been saying this since October,
months.
November.
We were a show in New York, not national, when you were saying this stuff. That's how long ago it was.
Listen, Goddard's been doing his thing. Mm-hmm. He's the future. Yeah. Zach Ertz has an $8 million cap. You know, they can save $5 million because he only counts like $3 million against the cap. They need to get cap space. They're $64 million over the cap. So I've been saying this forever. This was part of why I said that the Jets with Joe Douglas can maybe bring in Zach Ertz at $8 million would be a tremendous opportunity because they need somebody that can work the middle of the field, whether it's Deshaun Watson or Sam Darnold as well. He's only 29 years old. You would think that he has 3 or 4 good years left. I would give him an extension. Let's just say 3 years, $24 million. Or matter of fact, 3 years, $10 million. But part of those are workout bonuses and incentives. And it can make it work. It's perfect. It just have perfect space. But that's why I say the Colts are the best place and destination for Carson Wentz because they have $60 million of cap space. They have an opportunity. They got to extend Nelson. They got to decide they're going to bring back T.Y. Hilton. But if you can bring in Zach Ertz and bring in Carson Wentz together, guess what? I think they're fifth on the list of tandems with completions over the last 5 years is Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz. So why not bring them together and have that connection there? But listen, I said a long time ago, nobody pays attention to it. The tree fell and nobody
people
heard
are listening.
It, but you
people
heard
are listening. More and more people are listening, and we demand all the listeners of Bart and Hahn from now on, when you see stuff like that, I want you to just hashtag Bart Said That. When you give a gift of a year of ESPN Plus, you're giving thousands of live events, exclusive originals, I can't talk, and full 30 for 30 library and more. Surprise a sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. They can see us every day. Visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear for more details. It's Fat Tuesday, by the way, which means Ash Wednesday tomorrow, which means Lent, which means we have to give up something. I'll let you know tomorrow what I plan to give up. It's a major sacrifice, but I'm willing to make it. Bart? I will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.